good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. I'm delighted to introduce my guest today. Jasmine Lim is the Child Protection Officer from World Vision Malaysia. Jasmine, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do want to learn a little bit more about World Vision Malaysia. I'm somewhat familiar with the name World Vision and its humanitarian work globally. But what about the local chapter? Tell me a little bit more about World Vision Malaysia, some of the pillars of its work, but also your role as Child Protection Officer.
Sure. So as a Child Protection Officer at World Vision, I do two main things. Firstly, it is to ensure that all who work in and with World Vision, we know how to behave and act safely around children and community members that we work with, and that all our processes are safe for them. Okay. And secondly, I also get to have some fun designing local child protection programs to empower and equip the local community about child protection.
Oh my gosh, I have so much to learn from our show today. What about the Malaysian chapter of World Vision? What does World Vision Malaysia do specifically here?
Right. So World Vision Malaysia is an international humanitarian organization as well. And we are dedicated to helping children and their families overcome poverty and injustice. And the way that we do it is through our three key pillars of work: community transformation, emergency relief, as well as advocacy. So community transformation refers to our partnering with the local communities, the local government as well, to identify what are the gaps that hinder child well-being from coming, from taking place in their communities. And then we work together to address it.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Secondly, okay. There's also the emergency relief part where we reach out to survivors in most vulnerable situations such as conflict, famine, natural disasters, with life-saving aid, and we then stay for the long term to help them re-establish and rebuild themselves as a community. And lastly, it's advocacy, where we seek to bring to light unjust policies and practices that hinder children from being able to live in dignity and also in safety. And the way that we do that is to equip and empower and mobilize a global movement of people who are committed to the cause.
Okay, I understand that child sponsorship is a key pillar, a key approach of the way World Vision works. And I do want to tell you to tell me a little bit about the 1,000 Girls movement. I love the idea behind it. The idea is to build a generation of fearless girls, girls who are, you know, who can live and learn, free to learn, free to grow, free to live their lives fearlessly. And I love that commitment. Tell us a little bit more about this movement.
Okay, so the 1,000 Girls movement was birthed because of the many alarming and critical issues that girls face while growing up. And it's also one of our global campaigns to end violence against girls in conjunction with our International Day of the Girl, which happens on October 11th. And we hope to be able to partner with child sponsors through the 1,000 Girls campaign to empower these girls to break the cycle of violence. Mm. And okay. The way that we do it is through child sponsorship. And right. So when you sponsor a girl, your funds are pulled together with that of other child sponsors in the community, in the same community. And then your funds will be used for three main things. Firstly, it is to provide access to basic services like healthcare, education, and also, and all these things. And then there's also the programs. We have programs as well to help girls and their communities turn the tide against violence against girls, against gender inequality.
Right.
And lastly, for every girl who's sponsored, we monitor their progress, we look at their school attendance, we also look at their health, and this keeps them safe.
Right, because there's someone looking at the after effects, the impact of the funds.
Yes.
Jasmine, tell me a little bit about these girls. Who are they? Where are they? What kind of, where do they live? What are their lived realities in their communities?
These 1,000 girls are from our community transformation programs. It's one of the pillars that I mentioned just now. And we have these programs in various parts of the world, like in Asia, in Middle East, and in Africa as well, where it's most vulnerable. Mm. So then these 1,000 girls face many, many issues, but maybe I can invite you to think about some of the childhood issues or that women around you face when they were children. What were some of their challenges? Were any of them, did any of them have to drop out of school to bear the burden of caring for the younger siblings? Mm. Did any of them have to go through child marriage, teenage pregnancy, and then become mothers before their time? And were there any who also had to endure violence and humiliation at the hands of those who were supposed to love and cherish them just because it was the status quo? Mm. So if we dig deep and wide enough, we will realize that there are women and girls in our circle who actually go through these things, child marriage, child labor, gender discrimination in their own homes, and violence. Mm. So globally, we know that there are 1 out of 5 girls who are married before adulthood, and then out of all the children who are trafficked, 3 out of 4 are girls.
Wow.
Yeah. And
3 out of 4 are girls.
Yes, exactly. And 1 in 4 ever-partnered girls, which means 1 in 4 teenagers who have ever had boyfriends or husbands have endured intimate partner violence. And only 2 out of 5 girls in this whole world complete secondary education.
Wow, those are shocking numbers. And you're absolutely right to invite us to think about what's happening within our own families, our own communities, our own backyard. I think about, all the young girls I've known in my personal life who've had to either drop out of school or not continue pursuing education because, again, you know, there were too many siblings, mm-hmm. and then the brother would get to go, or the siblings were too young, so the burden of care at home would fall on the eldest girls.
Yes.
And I think about the missed opportunities and the potential that if they were given the same opportunities, what the potential that they could achieve.
Mm.
Now, I do want to ask you a little bit about, you mentioned a bit earlier about, child sponsorship and what that entails. I'm curious to know how, if we wanted to participate in the 1,000 Girls Movement, what would sponsorship entail specifically?
Okay, so sponsorship is like a commitment to journey with a child and the family out of poverty, out of the injustices that they face. And when you sponsor a child, it's actually no different from a girl or a boy that you sponsor. You get to have an introductory letter, which a child
do we do we know who we're sponsoring? Do we get to know the child?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so we get to know who the child is,
yes.
what he or she is doing. Okay,
yes.
All right.
So through that process of getting to know the child, we'll have 4 main things that allow you to build a relationship with the child. Firstly, it's an introductory letter from your child, from your sponsored child, giving you basic details about the child and the family, and even the photo as well. And then secondly, you get
to see that, you
yes.
get to visually see and
yes.
maybe one day meet.
Yes, yes, we have child sponsors, sponsors visits to the communities as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Wonderful. So how long does a sponsorship for a child last?
That depends on the sponsor.
Okay,
yes.
All right. But for a specific child, when World Vision Malaysia or World Vision is working with a child, what period of a child's life are you looking to sponsor and to make the most impact?
Right. So I think it's best to start earlier. Mm. And the sponsorship tends to go until they're 18 or 21 years old.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So during the most impressionable time, during
yes.
the time where it makes the most difference.
Right.
I do want to ask you, I mean, you did mention that, you know, it's a sponsorship can go to either a boy or a girl, but you know, we are going to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the International Day of the Girl Child this year. It's been 10 years since the UN made this a special day.
Mm.
What does investing in a girl do? So when you invest in a future that believes in the agency of a girl, in the potential of a girl, in the leadership of a girl, What do you think that does specifically with a girl child?
Right. So if every child will need 4 basic rights to live and thrive, And these four basic rights include the right to survival, which is food and water, the right to protection, which is the need to keep them safe from all harm and all danger, all forms of violence and abuse and neglect. And thirdly, they also should have a right to participate, which means they should have a say in things that affect their lives.
Right.
And lastly, it's the right to development, which allows them to go to school and develop. So with these four rights, children will have the foundation for them to develop to their fullest potential. But for the 1,000 girls in our programs, they, because of life circumstances, they tend to fall into the cracks.
Mm.
So that's where their trajectory of life also changes. So what child sponsorship does is that we come in, we work with the community, we look at the gaps, find out what they are, and we fill it. So that girls then would have the same trajectory to strive to their fullest.
Mm.
So if I may, I would like to share with you a story about one of our sponsored children.
Sure.
to help illustrate this. So there's one of our sponsored children in Kenya. Her name is Pauline. She grew up in a nomadic family where they breed livestock as a form of livelihood. And the place that she lives in is in Turkana, which is very dry with severe droughts, and food is scarce. Water is not healthy for consumption
right.
there. And so every day she would walk to school for 3 km as a child, sometimes on an empty stomach, and sometimes barefooted because her sandals would wear out after 3 km every day. But what kept her going was that her mother kept encouraging her, and also this desire to actually fill her stomach so that she can, with the free food in school, so that...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so school is an avenue for free breakfast or free lunch. It's also a meal for many children,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's
okay.
Right. So then, there was 1 year actually when her family faced a crisis where they lost all their livelihoods, all their livestock, and she at the same time developed asthma. So there was no money for treatment and for her schooling, so she really faced the fear of dropping out and her health deteriorating. But that's when child sponsorship came just at the right time, so she was able to receive treatment for her asthma and also continue to attend school with all her schooling supplies provided for. And today, she has not only completed primary and secondary school education, she's finished her bachelor's degree, her master's degree, and she's now on her way to finishing her PhD in environmental science.
Oh my goodness!
And you know?
From such beginnings, and that's what sponsorship does. You've given me goosebumps, Jasmine. We're going to take a quick break. Let's continue this conversation with Jasmine Lim from World Vision Malaysia in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Futures Female. I'm Melissa Idris and I'm chatting today to Jasmine Lim. She is the Child Protection Officer at World Vision Malaysia. This is in celebration of the 10th anniversary of the International Day of the Girl Child. It's on 11th of October. This year marks the 10th year since the commemoration of this day by the United Nations. And we're learning a little bit more about the 1,000 Girls Movement by World Vision. So you talked a little bit about this movement and what sponsoring a child entails. I do want to ask you why in particular it's important more than ever to invest in children and girls in particular, because we are coming out of, you know, a pandemic. We're hoping to see some recovery, but the pandemic has impacted children and disproportionately girls. How have you seen the impact of the pandemic on young girls?
Right. So I think there are various issues that girls face, particularly during COVID period, because of the lost livelihoods.
Mm.
And a lot of our community members have lost their income and things like that. So and children could not go to school as well. They dropped out. And when they go to school, they can't cope with it again. And that's where the danger for girls happen as well. When they're out of school and there's nothing better to do, or there's a gap in their development. Sometimes parents who can't afford it would send them for child marriage so that it saves costs. Right. And also, and some girls would also have to go out to work. For example, I can share with you a story of one of our program participants. Mm. Her name is Aki. She was recently honored by the UN for the for her services to her community during the COVID period. And so Aki is from Bangladesh. When she was young, she had to drop out of school to help support her family because her father got into a serious accident and could not work. Mm. So when she's working in a stream processing factory, she had to work long hours, coming into contact with lots of toxic chemicals that eventually caused her to have a dizziness and nausea, and her feet and hands got infected.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the condition of child labour, it's things like that. And but when World Vision came in to help her out of the child labour, she was then able to access education, vocational education, where she learned practical life skills and also the ability to sew. So that actually changed her life, because after she graduated, she was able to start a business, a tailoring business, with a sewing machine and also some fabric that World Vision gifted her. So she quickly found success, but COVID hit.
Right.
Yeah, she couldn't continue her business. But she realized one very important thing. There were no masks in her community. No one could access them.
Right.
So she used her skills and she made masks to be sold to the community at very, very low prices. And she deliberately also gave them for free to those who could not afford it, like the extremely poor. And on top of that, she also taught her family members and her community COVID-19 prevention methods, which she learned from World Vision, you know, washing your hands.
So she became a multiplier to her community.
Yes.
That's wonderful. What a lovely story. I read a quote that said, you know, if you educate a child, you're not just changing. If you educate a girl, you're not just changing her life, but you're also changing her family, her community, and also her country's future as well. And I really do think that's wonderful. One of the things that strike me the most in hearing your stories is that World Vision, because of the monitoring that you do with child sponsorship, has all these wonderful feedback and the stories of you know, the differences that it makes. Is that difficult to continue doing monitoring? I mean, you know, you must have had wonderful stories to share with other people, especially sponsors. How do you ensure that the monitoring takes place, that there is that you're hearing how the impact, the sponsorship is impactful to the child's life?
So then when we work with the community, we identify gaps together.
Right.
So then it's a collaboration because community members are experts in their own communities. So that's how we ensure that it's correct and it's suitable for the community at the first point. And then we also, particularly during the COVID period, it was really difficult to monitor and to...
I can imagine.
Yes, to see how the girls are doing and things like that. But we also pivot to online monitoring. And sometimes we also have staff who visit their homes to monitor these processes as well. But when we sponsor a child, we're able to not just see the impact of the community in the community, because we are so close to community, we work with them, we're also able to see these changes quite
obvious. You can see how the changes really are impactful, change the course, the trajectory of the future. I think that's really wonderful. In the couple of minutes that we have left, Jasmine, I do want to ask you, if I may revisit something that you said in the beginning. You said part of your job is to, to teach people like me how to act safely or behave safely, and how to have child-safe processes. Can you just very quickly elaborate what you mean by that? I'm so curious to learn a bit more about that.
Sure. So it's actually quite a long process because it's something very important that we hold very close to our hearts to ensure that all who work in World Vision are safe for children. So we go through a process of screening to ensure that they have no background that may endanger the community members or children. And then they go through interviews to find out if they're suitable. And we also have this process where we train them and give them before they go into the community so that they know how to behave and act safely around children.
Wonderful. That's really sounds really thorough and methodical. Okay. All right. My last question to you. Do you have any a last message for our audience about the 1000 Girls Movement, about the importance of child sponsorship? And I say this given that everyone is feeling the pinch of a cost of living crisis, feeling the burden of our economic recovery post-pandemic. And there may be, I would call it sponsorship fatigue, you know, the kind of compassion fatigue, if I may. What would you say to the audience listening tonight about why it's important to invest in young girls?
Right. So it's important to invest in young girls because we actually make up 50% of the population, and without allowing the girls to have a chance to develop fully and also to give back to society, we can't grow as a society, right? And when we actually allow girls to thrive, to be able to do all that they need to do, the burden is then shared as well. So on behalf of World Vision Malaysia, we would really like to thank Astro Awani and The Future is Female, particularly our segment, for this opportunity to share about some of our works that we do. And if you resonated with what we shared, if you want to empower a girl and journey with her out of the cycle of violence, then we encourage you to sponsor a girl by the International Day of the Girl this year, because 1,000 girls are waiting to partner with you in this process.
Oh, that's lovely. Jasmine, thank you so much for joining on the show today. I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for your time. That's all we have for you on this episode of The Future is Female. I will be back with you same time next week, speaking to incredible women about the work that they do. Stay tuned. Thank you so much for watching. Till then, I'm Melissa Idris. Good night.